It's always a joy to be able to study together and to be able to just look at God's Word and say, okay, what is He talking about? How can that benefit me and what can I learn from it? I'd like to talk this evening about faithful. That's an interesting word and means different things to different people. Paul, in writing to Timothy, in the book of 2 Timothy, I'm sorry, wrong one. There we go. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning there in verse 10, he says, "For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." And so as we see from this passage as well as a number of others, God is faithful. And in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 9, it just simply says God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so to be faithful, just we understand that God is faithful and Christ is faithful. In Hebrews chapter 3, beginning there in verse 1, he says, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to Him who appointed Him, as Moses was also in all his house. For He has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, by just as much as the builder of the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." And so we see that God is faithful. We see that Christ is faithful. And therefore, the Word of God is faithful. The very fact that God is faithful and the very fact that Christ is faithful implies then that what they say is faithful. In Titus chapter 1, there in verse 9, and this is right in the middle of Paul giving the qualifications to Titus for the elders, he says that one who is aspiring to be an elder, he says, "holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, that he may be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict." And so we see that as we look at this, that God is faithful and Christ is faithful and the Word of God is faithful. And those are things that we can depend on. You remember Paul said it is a trustworthy statement. This is something you can count on. Is the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and the faithfulness of the Word of God. Interestingly, there are a number of people who are referred to as being faithful. Timothy in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17 is called a faithful servant of God. We see the saints at Ephesus. The book of Ephesians is written to the faithful saints there at Ephesus in Ephesians 1 and verse 1. And in Colossians 1 and verse 2, the saints at Colossae are referred to as being faithful. Epaphras in Colossians 1 and verse 7, and then Tychicus in Colossians 4 and verse 7, and then Onesimus in chapter 4 and verse 9 of Colossians, and then Paul in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12, and Moses in Hebrews chapter 3 that we just read about, verses 2 through 5, and then Silas or Silvanus in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. And all of these, and there may be others, but all of these are men who are referred to as faithful. And so as we look at these people and we say, okay, these people are faithful, then what does that mean to me? Well, what that means is that we're to be faithful to God. It means that we're to be faithful to Jesus Christ. We're to be faithful to the Word of God. And that's what it means. In Revelation 2, in verse 10, in the last part of that verse, it says, "Be faithful until death and I'll give you the crown of life." Some translations say, "Be faithful unto death." Some say until death. There is a difference in the implication of the two words, because one just says be faithful all your life, and the other one says be faithful even if you're going to be killed for your faith. But either way, we are to be faithful, and if we're faithful till we die, then we will receive a crown of life. In Matthew chapter 25 and verses 20 through 23, Jesus is telling the parable of the talents, and you remember the five-talent man. One man was given five, one man was given two, and one man was given one, and the master went away, and when he came back, he called them in for the accounting. And it says there that the one who had received five talents came up and brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted five talents to me, and I've gained five more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joys of your master. And then we see that the one who was the two-talent man, he says, Master, you entrusted me to two talents. I've gained two more. And his master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And so in both of these, we see exactly the same words. And what he says is, you were faithful in doing what I told you to do. We're to be faithful to God. We're to be faithful to Christ, and we're to be faithful to the Word of God. But what does it mean to be faithful? And this is really sort of the key of the whole lesson is, what does it mean? Interestingly, over my lifetime, I've talked to a lot of different people about people who were faithful or considered to be faithful or considered not to be faithful. And it's interesting because people tend to have different standards that they measure by. And it may be just one particular thing that this person believes or one particular thing this person practices. Or it may be that if they do this, they're faithful and just really don't even think about all these other things. I was reminded as I was thinking about this of a particular church that we knew about. And if you were measuring churches from a somewhat conservative standpoint, in general, you would say that they were very loose. And they practiced all kinds of things that you just wouldn't imagine. And yet, there were one or two things that they wouldn't do. And so, by many people, they were considered, okay, they're faithful because they don't do this. Well, you know, sometimes being faithful involves just more than one thing. And sometimes with individuals, we do the same thing. You know, we say, well, if they come to church three times a week, they're faithful. Or if they do this or they do that, whatever it may be. Notice, though, what the one talent man was told there in Matthew 25. His master said to him, you wicked, lazy slave. You see, he didn't gain anything. He didn't do anything with the opportunities that he was given. And because he did nothing with them, he was considered as wicked and lazy. He was not faithful. This is in contrast to good and faithful. The other two, it was said, good and faithful. This one says wicked and lazy. And so what we need to understand is then, what are we going to do, or how are we going to be measured in being faithful? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in our text that we read, it's a trustworthy statement. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. What does it mean to die with him? Well, Jesus died on the cross, and obviously we're not going to die on that same cross with him. But the Apostle Paul said, he says, no longer I who lives, but Christ Jesus lives in me. And the reason he said that is because he said, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, he gave up himself, and he gave up all of what he was about, so that, as Matt pointed out in his lesson this morning, he could live for God. He could be what God wanted him to be. And then we read, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. And so we're to die with Christ, and then we are to endure. So being faithful means that we're going to keep on keeping on. We're not going to quit. Being faithful implies that we continue to serve God. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's not just for a little while, but we continue serving Him day in and day out as long as we live. But He says if we deny Him, He'll deny us. And this is the opposite of being faithful. And we can deny the Lord in a lot of ways other than just simply with our mouth. You know, we think about denying Jesus or denying God, that implies that we're going to say, well, I don't believe in Jesus, or I don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, or I don't really believe in God. And certainly that is denying Him. But when I ignore His Word and when I refuse to allow Him to be Lord of my life, then I am denying Him by my actions. Because I'm saying I don't really believe He's my God. I don't really believe He's my Lord. I'll just do what I want to do. And so He says if we deny Him, He will deny us. And if we're faithless, that is, we don't have faith and we're not faithful in our lives, it doesn't make any difference as far as God is concerned. It doesn't change Him. He remains faithful. For He cannot deny Himself. And so we must be faithful. But again, the question comes up, what does it mean to be faithful? Well, I think being faithful involves, and there may be other things besides what I put up here this evening, but I think being faithful means that we're true and we're honest. And I think that's what Jesus was talking about when He talked to the woman at the well, and He said, those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I think the idea there that Jesus was saying to that woman is that our worship has to be true and honest. Our service to God has to be true and honest. It has to be genuine. It has to come from the heart. It has to be really coming from within us because it is a part of us. And being faithful means that we are true and we're honest. Being faithful means that we're trustworthy. It means that we're dependable. In other words, when we have a task to do, we do what we're supposed to do. The man who was given 5 talents gained 5 more. The man who was given 2 talents gained 2 more. But the one who was given 1 did nothing with his. He buried it in the ground. And he was not called faithful. He was called wicked and lazy. And so we must, if we're going to be faithful, we must be trustworthy. We must be dependable. And if we're given a task, we fulfill that task. And if we say we're going to do something, we do what we say we're going to do. And that's a big part of being faithful. And that means then one who is faithful are those who work and who complete the task that has been given to them. They're in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2. He says, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who are able to teach others also. You see, Paul's mission, and we think of Paul and his mission, we think, well, you know, his mission was to go out and preach the gospel. And that was a big part of his job. And that's what he tried to accomplish. But you know, his mission was broader than that. His mission was not only to preach the gospel, but his mission was to train those who had been converted to Jesus Christ so that they too would preach the gospel. So that they too could convert other people. And it was not just a matter of converting somebody and then moving on, but he wanted them to grow and mature so that they too could convert others. And he converts Timothy, and then he tells Timothy, okay, now you go out and you convert people and you help them learn how they can convert other people. And this is God's plan for us today. It's not enough just that we are converted to Jesus Christ and so we come and we assemble together and we worship. You know, I don't know if you ever thought about it or not, but Jesus didn't die on the cross so we can come sit in a pew and sing songs. That's not why He died. He didn't die on the cross so that we can come together like this and have a sermon or offer up prayers. He didn't even die on the cross so we can take the Lord's Supper. He died on the cross so that men and women could be saved from their sins. And what He wants us to do is not just to accept His salvation, but to share His salvation with other people. And we have a responsibility. Every single one of us has a responsibility to share the gospel with others whenever we have an opportunity to do so. As Matt pointed out in his lesson this morning, there are times that we have these opportunities and we just let them go on by, and maybe sometime later we think, well, you know, I might should have said so-and-so to that person. We need to take advantage of the opportunities that we're given to share the gospel with others. And this is a big part of what it means to be faithful. And the basis of being faithful is putting our trust and our faith in God. It means that we really depend on Him. And if I really put my trust in God and I really depend on God to use me and to move me and to motivate me and to build me up and make me all He wants me to be, it means I'm not going to trust in myself. I'm not going to trust in what I do. I'm not going to trust in what I know. I'm not going to trust in the abilities that God has given me. But rather in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, Paul says to Timothy, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You see, he says, "Timothy, I want you to be strong." But notice what he tells him to be strong in. You be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. It's not what you're going to be able to accomplish on your own. It's what God can do through you. It's what God will do through you if you allow Him to work in you. Paul said that God gave him the gospel message because he was considered faithful. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, he said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because He considered me faithful, putting me into service." And he goes on, he says, "I was a persecutor, I was a blasphemer, I did all these things, but God knew that I was faithful and I wanted to serve Him, I wanted to do what was right, and He considered me faithful and He put the gospel in my hands. And He has given me the responsibility of sharing the gospel with others." But Paul didn't say, "Look what I've done." You know, Paul, I think sometimes we forget about Saul of Tarsus and who he really was in light of his culture. And Saul of Tarsus would probably have been known as Rabbi Saul. In our equivalency today, that'd be Dr. Saul. You see, he had studied at the feet of Gamaliel, and that was about the equivalent of going to Harvard in our country today. And he was excelling above others that were his equals. According to many traditions, he was either already a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the highest court of law and religion in the Jewish nation. And if he was not already on it, he was mighty close to being there. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. In other words, the Pharisees were some of the strictest people there were, and he was right at the top of the list of those that were strict. And so if there was anybody that really had reason to sort of boast about himself, in fact, he says himself, "If anybody has reason to boast, I have far more." That's his words. But he said, "I count that all as loss for the opportunity of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." And so he recognized that what he had become as an apostle was not his own doing. It was not because of who he was. It was not because of what he knew. But rather, it was by the grace of God. And so he says in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, "By the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace did not prove, toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." And you remember in Ephesians 3 when he was praying for the Ephesians there at the end of that chapter, verses 20 and 21, he says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be glory in the church in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so He says, it's not about me, it's not what I'm doing, it's what God is doing in me. It's what God is doing through me. And if we're going to be faithful to God, then we must allow God to work in us and work through us. And it's not about what we can accomplish, it's about what God can accomplish. As we look at the church here at Ephesus, and we look at the church in Limestone County, and we look at the church all around us, there is a tremendous amount of opportunity for all of us to share the gospel. Last weekend, you know, we were off with some of the younger couples, and we were talking about the church here at Ephesus and how we need to get some growth, and we need to get some new people in, and we need to go out, and we need to convert people. And somebody just made the comment, you know, we need to convert people. If they come to Ephesus, that's good. But if they go somewhere else, that's good too. And they're right. You know, we want the church here to grow in number. That would be great if we can convert people and they attend here with us. And we love to have people worship here with us. But at the same time, if we can convert somebody and they happen to live across the county or somewhere else, and it's more convenient for them to attend some other place, then praise God. If we can just reach them with the gospel. And so we need to share the gospel with others, whoever they are. And so we're to be faithful to God, we're to be faithful to Christ, and we're to be faithful to the Word of God. And so we ask the question then, what does it mean for us to be faithful? Well, some people say, well, I know what it means to be faithful. That means that I'm going to attend some or at least some of the services, if not all of them. And some people would consider you being faithful or consider themselves being faithful if they come on Sunday morning for preaching. Other people consider themselves faithful if they come for Bible class and preaching on Sunday morning, but others would say, no, you got to come back on Sunday night in order to be faithful. And somebody else says, well, you got to come on Wednesday night to be faithful. And while I believe that the Lord wants us to attend all of the services that we possibly can, and we are not to forsake the assembly, we are to be a part of the assembly. And unfortunately, with all of the things that have happened over the last recent year or so, last couple of years, and there are many who have just gotten complacent, and they just would rather sit home on their couch or in the recliner and watch a sermon instead of worshiping with the saints. And I have questions about that, whether or not that's faithful. God knows. I don't for sure, but God does. Some people say, well, you know, if you study your Bible, you're faithful. And certainly I believe that studying is a part of what God wants us to do. And I think if we're going to be faithful, we will study our Bible. And it's something that we need to do every day. We need to make time to do that. It needs to be a big part of our life that we study the Word of God. And some say, well, you know, we have to pray if we're going to be faithful. And yes, I think we do need to pray. Paul says, pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. And so we do need to pray. But you know what? You can pray and every day and study your Bible every day and go to every church service there is and still not be faithful to God. Because if it's not based on genuine faith in God and commitment to God, then it's not really serving God. If it's not based on loving God above all else, then it's not really being faithful to God. You see, some people go to church just so they sort of check the list. Some people study their Bible so they can just say, yeah, I read my Bible today. Some people pray just because they go through the motions. And so while these things are good and these things need to be done in our lives and need to be an integral part of our lives, they in themselves do not prove us to be faithful. Do we live for the Lord by faith or do we live for ourselves? And I think we can look at our speech and we can say, okay, what does it say? You know, Jesus said that what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And that tells you a lot about what really we are inside. And that's the very point that Jesus was making. And if our speech is lying instead of truth, and it's gossip, and it's slander and backbiting, and it's cursing and using God's name in vain. That doesn't demonstrate one who is faithfully serving God. But rather, what our speech ought to be is kind and gracious and encouraging and teaching and forgiving. And this should be what our speech portrays if we're really faithful to God. Are we really faithful or living by faith in God when we worry all the time or when we're overly anxious about things? And there's been all kinds of things to get worried about and all kinds of things to be anxious over in the last couple of years more than previously. But the fact is, if we just live in constant fear, then I got a question whether or not we're faithfully living for God. In fact, when Jesus said not to worry, you know, he said, don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear, so on and so on. He says, oh, you of little faith. And so we need to make sure that our faith is strong enough that we don't worry and we recognize that God is in control. Do we use what we have to help others? Remember the parable of the talents? One was given 5 talents, one was given 2, and one was given 1. And those talents didn't represent their abilities. You know, we think of talents, we think of abilities, but they were given these talents according to their abilities. And these talents were pieces of money. And the master said, okay, what have you done with the opportunities that I have given you? And how do we use the opportunities that God has given us? Do we give freely of our money, or are we just like Scrooge and hang on to it until the last penny? Are we willing to share? Are we willing to share material things? Are we willing to give of our time to help people that need us? Are we willing to share our knowledge and our experience and our advice and other things, our wisdom that we may have gained in life? All of this is a part of being faithful to God. In Matthew chapter 5, there beginning in verse 14, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. And then Jesus says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If I am living faithfully for the Lord, then my life is going to bring glory to God. And if my life does not glorify God, then I need to take a look at whether or not I'm really being faithful as I should. But you know, you can't be faithful to God if you're not a child of God. There's no way you can do that. You just cannot. And so I ask you this evening, do you believe in God? Do you believe that the Bible really is the Word of God? Do you really, honestly believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? He came to earth and He died for your sins. And do you understand that without Jesus, you'll be lost eternally, doomed to hell? Back several years ago, there was a young man here in Limestone County. He was about 15 years old. He'd been going to church all of his life. He had heard the gospel preached all of his life. For whatever reason, he had put off becoming a Christian. He had thought about it a lot of times. Even talked about it a few times, and They were having a gospel meeting where he attended. It went Monday through Friday. Monday night, he took some clothes with him to change into so he could be baptized into Christ. But Monday night, he decided he'd wait till Tuesday night. He took his clothes with him again Tuesday night, waited till Wednesday night. So he took his clothes with him on Wednesday. And he thought, I'm going to wait till tomorrow night. And Thursday, he was killed in an accident. You don't know. You don't know if you'll have tomorrow. And if you're not a Christian, we sure don't want you to go to hell. We want you to accept Jesus tonight. Accept Him as your Lord, as your Savior. And confess your faith in Him and turn away from yourself and whatever fear there is or whatever is holding you back, give it up and give yourself to God. And by faith be baptized into Jesus and have your sins washed away. And then live faithfully until death. If you're here this evening, you're subject to the invitation. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.